Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Find new customers on a platform that's here to stay. With TikTok for Business, anything is possible. If you've ever thought about advertising your business on TikTok, now is the time to do it. You can drive more customers to your website, sell products right in the app, and you can even use TikTok's creative tools to easily make content and find creators to help sell your products for you. Find new customers today. Just open your browser, type in getstarted.tiktok.com/TikTok ads, and grow your business fast.
Peter King joins us on the Bud Light guest line. Bud Light, easy to drink, easy to enjoy. And with this appearance, I officially hereby declare an open to this year's Super Bowl, because we really haven't talked about it much. We were kind of saving it from Peter, who joins us from Arizona. Thank you so much, Peter, for joining us today. How are you?
No problem. I'm two beers in. Is that okay?
That is fantastic. We wouldn't have it any other way unless maybe it was three or four. Then things could get really, really interesting. Before we get to your neck of the woods, we'll start in our neck of the woods, where Tim Kawakami today uncorked a little nugget that Brock Purdy and, you know, the situation that obviously left the 49ers looking for another quarterback in the NFC title game. Maybe Jimmy Garoppolo might have been more motivated had things not gone sour late in the year between Shanahan, Lynch, and Garoppolo over whatever. Tim is just speculating. With all that you know around the 49ers, did you catch wind, Peter, of something being rotten in Camelot that might prevent Jimmy from wanting to return to be an emergency in the playoffs?
No, I did not. And I did hear about that today, but my eyebrows are raised. I never heard anything about that. So I just don't know. I'm not saying it isn't true. I'm sure it is. Tim is very good, very well plugged in. I don't know anything about it. Here's the thing that, I don't know, I don't want to say it surprised me, but I think that if Jimmy Garoppolo were even 70%, I would have wanted him to be back up Philadelphia and have Josh Johnson not be dressed for that game. But obviously, according to Kyle, he wasn't ready to play, at least according to Kyle. So I take him at his word, and, you know, we'll see what happens. We'll see what develops out of this.
Is there, well, again, I'm asking you to speculate, and it's unfair, but this is inherently unfair. You talking to us every week is just not a good idea for you. Is there a possibility that Kyle Shanahan, being a football coach, could hold Jimmy Garoppolo's injury history against him? And that might be all that it would take.
Well, I am pretty sure that Kyle knew that whenever the last game of the season was after that, that, you know, this was not, okay, we're not kidding around anymore. This is it. Jimmy, you're going to be a free man at the end of this year. So I think we all figured at that point that, you know, that Jimmy Garoppolo absolutely and equivocally was gone. But I don't think that has much. I didn't think anyway at the time that that had much or anything to do with the depth chart in the playoffs. I always thought that when Jimmy Garoppolo was healthy enough, if not completely healthy, but when he was healthy enough, that he was going to be dressing as a backup quarterback. I didn't think he was going to usurp Purdy, but I thought that he would be dressing as a backup quarterback. And so my assumption was that he just wasn't healthy. And but, Ray, I never thought that it was going to extend beyond this year.
Peter King with us here on 95.7 The Game. So you've touched down in Arizona to cover yet another Super Bowl in your career. We have seen Super Bowl week sort of, you know, go through a lot of changes just in the last few years in terms of Media Row, the, you know, the, what it used to be, what it is now, the way that they let fans in and around it, what has happened of Media Night, the access that used to feel like it came from an awful lot of this week. It's now turned into a 365-day-of-the-year operation. What is the most valuable part of the media's week to you, Peter, as you get ready for the game on Sunday?
All right, I'll tell you exactly what the most valuable part is. Today, as we are reaching the end of Wednesday, it's 6:05 p.m. here, the media availabilities today. Kansas City was in the morning. I missed that because I have a bunch of job-related things, work-related things. But I did go out to the Eagles. And I'll tell you one of the things. There's a lot that I curse about the Super Bowl. You know, the mayhem, the fact that I'm basically competing with Carrot Top to interview people. And I'm only slightly exaggerating there, but yes, Carrot Top was here today and yesterday. And man, he's aging, shall we say. Anyway, you know, but the one thing, and it happened this afternoon, I spent 25-30 minutes with Howie Roseman and found out a lot of really interesting things, to me anyway, about how this team has been built. Then I spent 20 minutes with a guy named Jeff Stoutland, the line coach of the Eagles, who, you know, is lording over now the best offensive line in football and one of the best offensive lines in recent years. And so those are the kind of things, because Jeff Stoutland's not normally available. Howie Roseman is not normally available. That is what I love about Super Bowl week. For a couple of days, everyone in the organization is available for you to talk to. And luckily, because I have a relationship with Howie, I was alone with him for that period of time. And those are the kind of things that I truly appreciate about Super Bowl week. Not a lot else I really appreciate about it, because it is an S show. But, you know, hey, this is what America likes, I guess. So I don't want to be the guy who is, you know, yelling, get off my lawn. I truly do appreciate being able to get exposed to all these guys who, in many cases, I'm not normally able to speak to.
Let's get back to the S show. Are you getting a sense that New Orleans is going to be able to close the deal with Derek Carr? Or does this look like an unpleasant marriage that's going to end catastrophically for everybody?
I don't really know, Ray. I've not talked to... I know Mickey Loomis pretty well. I was planning to check in with him about where that stood by the end of the week. But as of now, I don't know. I do know this, that if I were Derek Carr right now, there's two teams I'd be very interested in. I'd be interested in New Orleans. I'd be interested in the New York Jets. Because both of those teams have good defenses. Jets are a little better, but you know that Jets are probably going to wait for Aaron Rodgers. And so Derek Carr is going to get a job. That's not in dispute. I believe that the issue is going to be who's going to step out first And I think New Orleans is going to step out because they just don't have enough faith in either Jameis Winston or Andy Dalton. And look, Ray, we saw it this year. We saw Derek Carr's play absolutely cratered this year. And cratered to the point where the last 2 weeks of the season where, for whatever reason, as bizarre as this sounds, he left and, you know, they were happy that he left. It was just the weirdest thing for a guy who, you know, 6 months ago was a franchise cornerstone. And so, you know, obviously something went wrong there. And I think that the first team to go out and show Derek Carr some love is probably going to be rewarded with employing him next year.
And since you brought it up, both the name and the word weird, what happens with Aaron Rodgers? Give me your best guess.
Say it again, Ray.
You mentioned weird. You mentioned his name. What's your best sense on what happens with Aaron Rodgers?
Well, you know, I was on the Dan Patrick show today, and I said, does Aaron Rodgers ever do anything normal? Does he ever say, you know, I'm going to go up to Tahoe for a few days, have a few beers, you know, take some long walks and try to figure out what I want to do with the rest of my life? No. It's either I'm going to go on an ayahuasca expedition to Peru for 2 weeks, or I'm going to go sit in a dark... I have never heard of this in my life. Have you ever heard of anybody trying to decide what they want to do with their lives or with their life and go and sit in a dark room for 4 days?
Only in a torture situation.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah, exactly. It's weird. It's just weird. And I don't know. And look, you know, all the power to him if that gives Aaron Rodgers clarity. And I'm, you know, whatever. Everybody's different. And I get that. But this is just, I mean, a succession of weirdness, in my opinion. But that's where we are. I still think that if I were Aaron Rodgers, as much as it would be in following in Brett Favre's footsteps, which I think would probably make him wrecked, I think that the smartest thing for him to do, and the chance in the next 2 years that he would have to take his team fairly far, would be to go to the New York Jets. Bad part of it is that all the quarterbacks are in the AFC, but the Jets have a top five defense in the NFL. They have a top five defensive coach in the NFL in Robert Saleh. And I just think that I think that team is a decent quarterback away from winning 11 games and being the fifth seed in the AFC. So I don't know. Will Aaron Rodgers see it that way? I don't know the answer.
Peter, I hope that you've got somebody expense accounting a big fat ribeye with your name on it somewhere for you tonight, and that you got to get going really soon. So let me just get to two things before we let you go here. Last week, you said that Steve Wilks would be a good fit as defensive coordinator of the Niners. He is the choice. What do you like about him in San Francisco?
You know, there's two things about him that I've always really liked. Okay, number one, if you talk to guys who played for Steve Wilks, they will talk about him the way that Fred Warner talks about D'Amico Ryans. And that is what I want out of my defensive coordinator. I want a guy who my players are going to go to the wall for. Okay, you never have heard, even in Arizona, you never heard players say, geez, that guy's kind of cheesy, or there's this wrong with him or that wrong with him. And I think the second thing that I would really like about him right now, anyway, is he really knows this division. And I'm sure that Kyle Shanahan looks at this situation as, hey, listen, we don't need to overturn what we've done here. We need to continue doing great things with this defense. We've got a real smart guy who's not going to look to reinvent the wheel, and who every guy who's ever played for him will just say, that's a guy I really like to play for. So I'm bullish on that hire. I think it's a good one.
Peter, what are you more comfortable betting against? And these are two uncomfortable things to bet against. Would you rather bet against this Eagles defense or Patrick Mahomes?
Oh, my God. I mean, you know, if I feel like I'd rather be burned at the stake than answer that question, because I love both. I mean, the Philadelphia Eagles defense was just absolutely awesome, especially down the stretch. And I think it's going to be very, very difficult, especially with Mahomes being a little hobbled and having his offensive weaponry pretty hobbled. I think it's going to be very hard for them. But I guess the way I would answer that is I look at football today and I look at trying to figure out football games today in thinking about the players who I really respect a lot, who I would say, if I had one game to win, give me this guy. If I had one game to win tomorrow, even with a high ankle sprain, give me Patrick Mahomes, you know, of any player in the NFL. You know, and that obviously includes all the quarterbacks. And it's no sign of disrespect to anybody else, but it is just the simple acknowledgement that every game that Patrick Mahomes plays, I find it hard to believe he's not going to win. Now, this one is just a little different because of all the injuries among his skill players and the fact that this year Jalen Hurts is 16-1 as a starting quarterback. Excuse me. And has one of the best offensive lines we've ever seen. But the one other thing I would say just about the Eagles right now is, and I've been around them a little bit in the last 3 or 4 weeks, this is a really, really confident team. It's not that Kansas City's unconfident. Philadelphia just has the feel. I think this Eagles team is a touchdown better than the Eagles team that won the Super Bowl 5 years ago. And, you know, so I just think this Eagles team is going to be very, very hard to beat.
Peter, thank you so much for joining us tonight, all football season long. Get that frog out of the back of your throat with a third beer. You've earned it. Thank you so much.
Thanks a lot, fellas. Take care.
Really appreciate it. Peter King, just a quick one, because it is dinner hour in Phoenix, and if you want to get, you know, get the good cut at Mastro's, you got to get there early.
He doesn't strike me as a Mastro's guy. Unless he's...
Wherever the expense accounts open, he strikes me as that guy.
Expense accounts at NBC are not what they used to be. I'm guessing that he's probably south of that. But I suspect he will have a series of more beers.
Would you like a little breaking news, Ray?
Okay.
Would you like a little breaking NBA trade deadline news? You want to push a button here, Grandy, to make it official?
95.7 The Game. Breaking news.
So here's the deal. It looks like we have a deal. Between the Lakers, the Jazz, and the Timberwolves, Shams is reporting the three teams are finalizing a trade that will send D'Angelo Russell, Malik Beasley, and Jared Vanderbilt to L.A. Russell Westbrook and a first-round pick go to Utah. Mike Conley Jr. and a second-round pick in compensation go to Minnesota. And reports coming out of Utah early is that Russ will be bought out, which is going to deny us the made-for-TV series that is Russell Westbrook in Utah. But there you go. It looks like we have our first official blockbuster NBA trade of the trade deadline. And, you know, I mean, all due respect to Kyrie, this is kind of interesting. Are the Lakers a better team just after reading this sentence? Yeah, I think they are.
They might be. I mean, I don't know yet just because they're so I mean,
they got a real point guard. They got a real point guard in D'Angelo Russell, and they got a real wing defender in Jared Vanderbilt.
I like the Vanderbilt part. I'm not sure about Russell. And they still have the problem of figuring out how to get maximum out of Anthony Davis. And watching him last night,
you did not look like you wanted to play hard. That's not what max effort looks like.
No. By the way, Juan Toscano-Anderson and Damian Jones both go to the Jazz as well.
Oh, Juan Toscano-Anderson in Utah. Sorry, man.
Well,
cash that NBA check. It's good living.
Yeah, it's either that or play on a Lakers team that is just bereft of anything. I mean, I like the Vanderbilt part more than I like anything else about this. I don't know that I trust D'Angelo Russell. And if he's not trustworthy, LeBron James will figure that out early. Because
I don't think LeBron's got the ability to be beggar and chooser at this point. He was desperate to get any. How about this? Instant upgrade over Russell Westbrook. Full stop. D'Angelo is a better basketball player in this season than Russell Westbrook could conceivably ever be. That's an upgrade. Easy to see coming. Nothing to even debate.
No, but he has to adjust his usage rate downward because he's not going to be the guy who handles the ball the most with the Lakers. That's going to be LeBron. And I'm not convinced that he's comfortable with giving up his usage rate. So I think he's got to make adjustments to his game that he's never done before. I mean, when he was with the Warriors, he needed to have the ball. And that turned out to be a disaster. So they have the same problem with a younger guy. And he's going to have to figure out how to be dynamic in a system in which the dominant guy is one of the great players of all time, which he's never really had, but had to deal with before. So we'll see if he adjusts. Because if he doesn't adjust, all they did was get Jared Vanderbilt.
Again, of course, you only see the negative aspect in all of this. It's a very good trade for the Lakers. For a team that looked like they were devoid of any options that would even come close to looking like this, Rob Pelinka goes from, you're terrible at this, to, I'm surprised you pulled that one off.
I'm holding out to see what kind of D'Angelo Russell they have.
Because D'Angelo Russell's better than Russell Westbrook.
No, because he has some serious Russell Westbrookian tendencies. And those are what have to change. I mean, one of the reasons why Minnesota is still dysfunctional is because he never figured out how to play with Karl Anthony Towns. And he certainly didn't figure out how to play with Karl Anthony Towns and Rudy Gobert.
Well, how many games did he get with them? I mean, those two guys went down injured.
But they've been back long enough. D'Angelo Russell is, to me, a question mark at best, problem at worst. And he's got to be significantly better. And not just in terms of the counting stats, like points and assists. He's got to be a more aware basketball player. And he's got to be a guy who's got to be comfortable with the idea that the offense doesn't run through him. I mean, that was the problem with Russell Westbrook.
I think LeBron will be happy to get off the ball a little bit. Doesn't mean he's not, you know, his usage is going down, but I think LeBron is going to be happy to get off the ball, let a real point guard bring it up the floor, maybe buy him a little few more, you know, easier trips up the court than being the focus of everyone's defense from three-quarter court on because you're bringing the ball up. And I'll say this about D'Angelo Russell. There are a lot of reasons to doubt what he might be, could be. Here's what he also is. Emphatically, the third best Laker the day he steps on the court. He's the third best Laker they got.
If he plays that way, my question is, will he play that way? And there's not much evidence that suggests that he will play that way.
He's having a good year.
He's having a good year in numbers-wise, but he didn't make that team any better, and his usage rate is still as astronomical, and his care of the basketball is no better than it has been.
Well, since we're talking a little basketball, happy birthday to seriously one of the more likable stars in Bay Area sports history. Klay Thompson turns 33 years old today. It's amazing, man. This is year 12 already for Klay. Now, two of those years were obviously spent rehabbing, but those were career years for Klay in terms of they weren't off years. He probably worked harder in those years or at least it felt like harder work in those years than any year he was actually out there playing. What's amazing is the guy's consistency, even as he struggles to find his consistency, because Klay Thompson, not the efficient player he used to be, but he was getting 21 a night for the 5 years before he got hurt in the NBA Finals, and he's basically 21 a night in the 2 years since he's been back. It looks different. It's a little less efficient. It doesn't come with a defensive prowess, which never got universally recognized by the NBA with any award anyway, but we know how good he was. But man, he's coming off 12 of 16 from three. Let's keep it cooking tonight on your birthday, Klay. Let's see it happen. Very, very important game up in Portland tonight. There are how many, could you make the argument, that's a winnable road game, are really out there for the Warriors that been so bad on the road this year? I don't care about the little corner that they've turned recently. Every single time they tip off a road game, they are back to, you know, the square one in terms of what you might do tonight. They haven't built up any house credit on the road, in my mind. This is a winnable road game, a rare winnable road game for a team that is only a couple games over 500 at home and is a couple games under 500 overall record. They should beat Portland tonight.
If they can keep Damian Lillard from scoring 45.
Yeah, that's just, I was going to say 50. Because he might be able to do that too. But even if he does go for 45 or 50, there shouldn't be enough around him to overcome what the Warriors are. Even without Steph Curry. Even without Steph Curry. You got Jordan Poole coming off a, hopefully his eyes got wider in terms of how he needs to go out and play for the Warriors to play at their best. He got his first double-double of the season with a career-high 12 assists. He hit 5 3-pointers while Klay was hitting 12. Hopefully that continues. Dante DiVincenzo coming off a 14-7 game. He is now definitely in his biggest stretch with the Warriors in terms of his responsibility to deliver them into the win column. Wiggins played really well in his last game. Draymond is the only drop of defense that you can see on this team. Hopefully he continues to drop some defense tonight. Kuminga's getting better. Kevon Looney is, you know, 10 rebounds rolling out of bed and hopefully continues to be. We'll see what this one looks like tonight. But this is a game. Here's the thing. You want to give us a reason to start taking you seriously. Go win in Portland. Win your third game in a row in Portland. What, they've won 5 of their last 7, I believe. So keep a good thing going as you try to get through the last 4 games you got to get through before the All-Star break. Again, they're in Portland tonight. Saturday, they're home against the Lakers. Next week, Monday, they host the Wizards. Tuesday, they're at the Clippers. And then the All-Star week is upon them. Nice break off for everyone. Steph, obviously, not going to the All-Star game with his situation. So more of a break off from him. And for a guy who's going to miss a couple weeks, a few weeks, several weeks, whatever that means, the, you know, non-definitive way that the Warriors have explained away this Steph Curry leg injury. Thank God one of those weeks is an All-Star week. And they don't have any games.
Yeah, that's just, you know, thanks for small favors.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, that's about as decent as a break as you can catch while Steph Curry is getting injured. So there you go. The big news of the hour from Shams. The Lakers, Jazz, and Timberwolves finalizing a 3-team deal to send D'Angelo Russell, Malik Beasley, and Jared Vanderbilt to the Lakers. Russell Westbrook and a first-round pick go to Utah. It seems like the Jazz are going to buy out Westbrook. Mike Conley and a second-round pick go to Minnesota. There it is. Your first big trade since the Kyrie trade. We'll see if there's another one that even gets into that ballpark tomorrow. I don't think so.
No, this is the one. I mean, nothing's going to be as big as this. And even at that, it's problematic for everybody. I mean, Utah gets Mike Conley, you know, Nickeil Alexander-Walker in 3 seconds. No, not much help there. Oh, no, I'm sorry. Minnesota gets that. So they're not helped. And again, D'Angelo Russell is, for me, still very much a question mark. And Russell Westbrook gets to play for nobody.
I wonder if someone will try to come on him on the buyout market.
Maybe.
And that is like the little secondary trade deadline that comes up after the actual trade deadline. Little buyout market in the NBA. And then the dust will officially be settled. We had Monty Poole on with us yesterday. We asked him what he thought the Warriors would do. He said, squadoosh.
Because Steph is out. It's not, you can't make a move because your leader is going to be missing for, you know, 3 or 4 weeks. That's short-term thinking, and it's dangerous, and it's a panic move. And the last time they made a panic move, it backfired in their face, and they didn't make the playoffs. That was the Kelly Oubre situation. So I don't think they'll go that route, make a dramatic move, because Steph's out and we need to get somebody. And so Wiseman, Moody, and, you know, a draft pick down the road, whatever. No, I think it would be a smaller move, but I still think that they are determined to try and get someone who can help up front, and they need that, and we'll see what they end up with.
Take Jared Vanderbilt off of that list of potential, potential trade partner that would make a difference. And even if you could trade, you know, even if that could have, the Warriors are very hamstrung. Again, they can't trade their 2023 first-round pick. They don't have their pick in 2024. They can't trade their 2025 first-rounder. They have no second-round picks in 2023, 24, 25, or 26. Wiggins can't go anywhere. Jordan Poole is next to impossible to move because his extension hasn't even kicked in yet. And the young guys that you think, well, maybe you could offer them up in kind of a poo-poo platter. Well, they've been so poo-poo, there isn't really any trade value there. So the Warriors are, they probably weren't going to do very much to begin with. And even if they wanted to do something, they really don't have that many levers to pull.
Yeah, or partners who are interested in the levers they want to pull. So, yeah, I think this is for them yet another perfect storm, which is they don't have an avenue to move players they want to move or to get players they want to get. So that's who they are.
Well, here's the other perfect storm. Somehow, some way, you are still like 4.5 games out of a 2 seed. So just play some winning basketball. Play some winning basketball over 15 games. I freaking dare you. See if you can go win tonight in Portland. I freaking dare you.
Well, good luck with that.
We got our man, John Dickinson, coming up with Warriors Live in a half an hour from right now. Ray, I want to get back to one other thing that I thought we would kind of peel away from the Peter King interview and get into this. Nora Princiotti for The Ringer was writing about the hell of the year that, you know, the NFL just had, and that this league maybe used this year once and for all to prove, and she doesn't like this, that it's like definitively too big to fail. You know, she just recapped some of the things that you'd think, you know, one or two of these things, much less all of these things stacked up on each other, would really damage a league in terms of PR or how many people were interested in it. When you look at all the stuff the NFL's had to deal with this year, starting with Deshaun Watson kicking it all off, you know, signing the largest guaranteed deal in NFL history after being at the very, very, very best naughty with more than 24 masseuses. You had Daniel Snyder officially become team sexually uncomfortable for women, making the dumbest rebrand to a team name that nobody even likes. The generic one was better. And he's dodging congressional subpoenas on his IMAX yacht the entire year. You got Gruden's ongoing lawsuit over the slur-laden emails that got released due to the whole Washington investigation. You got Miami owner Stephen Ross fined and suspended for wanting to tank games and lure Tom Brady. You got Brian Flores' class action lawsuit claiming, you know, black coaches get shafted at every single turn. You got the Jerry Jones trying to, like, intimidate young black kids in the 1957 Arkansas picture. You had Tua getting concussed on the field and scaring the crap out of football media and fans. Then you had DeMar Hamlin nearly dying, which really scared the crap out of football media and fans. You know, watching a guy die on a football field. Nearly die on a football field. You figure that would be horrific enough to where people were at least going to be like, oh my God, get it off my TV. No, as a matter of fact, it's the best rating in the history of Monday Night Football on ESPN. Don't tell me we're here for the race. We're here for the crashes. Nora Princiotti goes on to write, Ray, in reality, there's a clear case to be made that the NFL, having given all of that, has never been stronger. In May, the league signed a new media rights deal, which will be in place for the next decade, and it's worth about $100 billion, nearly doubling their pie. Less than 2 months ago, Google and the NFL struck a deal for YouTube TV to stream the league's out-of-market games package Sunday Ticket for a recorded price tag of $2.5 billion per year. The league had 82 of the top 100 television broadcasts in the U.S. last year. One of the few businesses to emerge from the pandemic with only growth being observable on the horizon, and had record attendance and ticket demand at international games. So this isn't just like, you Americans are all addicted to it, and the finer-heeled countries of the world, they would never go for this. No, they go for it in record numbers. She said this is basically a moral stress test that, you know, they haven't dealt with deft precision, but it hasn't hurt at all. The enduring strength makes it easy to stare at the league's dark underbelly and say that nothing matters and nothing will ever change, that owners will continue behaving badly and profits will always be prioritized over players' health. Nothing that happens in the NFL this season stopped any of the 53 million viewers who tuned into the AFC Championship game from doing so. And, you know, how the way the NFL handled Deshaun Watson to Dan Snyder to Tua to DeMar, it doesn't carry real consequences, financial or otherwise. So even asking for the league to do better feels like an empty plea.
Oh, yes.
It's like this. It's like she should be your daughter, Ray.
Oh, no. She's absolutely right. The NFL is motivated to do nothing other than what it's doing now. And what it's doing now is generating business. So there's not, you know, they don't have to worry about PR.
They print their own money.
Yeah, they not only print their own money, they literally, I mean, if they fired their entire PR staff or you know, crisis management team, all they'd do is save a bunch of salaries because nobody cares.
You could have AI. You know, they're talking about all the things that AI can do. AI can write a sitcom. AI can write a 10-minute stand-up routine these days. You could have AI work PR for the NFL and put out statements that are tantamount to cry all you want, we don't care about your feelings, and it wouldn't hurt the business one bit.
No, you wouldn't even have to put out the statement. It just, no, business is the business. If we could figure out a way to play games every night and go from 17 games to 40, we'd do it. I mean, there is no governor on them right now. And the recession that everybody thought was going to hammer the economy that might have hit the NFL too, that hasn't happened.
It hasn't hammered their economy, and it hasn't hammered the economy that goes along with big games. I saw this from Arash Markazi today. Super Bowl ticket prices, Ray? The average purchase price of a Super Bowl ticket on TickPix right now is $7,320, which makes it the most expensive Super Bowl based on average ticket price on record. Yet at the same time, this is a Super Bowl that doesn't have much buzz around it either. The get-in price is $4,692, which is down about $700 since Monday, down over $1,000 since the game was actually announced, which means that this game isn't playing huge back in Kansas City or Philadelphia in terms of rampant ticket purchases. And when you think about it, you probably, if you're a Kansas City Chiefs fan, have been buying a lot of expensive football tickets over the last 5 years to watch your team play. And you're not that far removed from a Super Bowl if you were in Philadelphia. So a lot of expensive tickets have been purchased, which means this is not generating the rampant business back in the hometown markets. The average ticket price, though, I mean, when you think about it, if it really is $7,300, Ray, we're talking about $14,000 for two Super Bowl tickets. That's before flights, that's before meals, that's before drinks or the price of a hotel room. I'm just going to tell you that going to a Super Bowl is officially a very cool thing to do. It is not cooler than the weeks-long four-star vacation that you could go on for about that cost. I mean, you can enjoy a Super Bowl for about 15, 20 grand, and that'll take up about 3 hours of your life, or you can go on a three-week vacation for the same price And I mean, like, there's so little bang for your buck there. And I understand that if you're buying Super Bowl tickets, you're really not worried about money to begin with. It's sort of comes, you know, with the profile of who buys Super Bowl tickets. But that's a ridiculous amount of money to spend on 3.5 hours of entertainment.
Even if you went for the whole week, it's 20 grand. Who's got 20 grand to spend?
Well,
other than the maniacally rich.
Well, that's
and
what this
that's
is.
And that's what the Super Bowl has been for a while. I just the fact that it's incrementally more expensive this year than last just tells me that next year it'll be incrementally more expensive next year until sometime in the as yet undefined future when the bubble bursts on everything. The NFL might be the last canary in the coal mine to die.
It's, well, again, giving the Nora Princiotti Ringer article, there's no amount of cyanide from a PR standpoint that this league can ingest that even fluctuates its heartbeat. It's amazing. It really is too big to fail. And like beyond World War III global economic collapse, guess what the one thing we would turn to get away from all that stress would be? Football.
Yeah, I mean, that's things. They don't really have to worry about quality control anymore or safety or anything else. They right now, they genuinely have done the one thing that Roger Goodell was hired to do, is make them untouchable. That's why he still gets paid $60 million a year, because in that one little corner of the business, he's done the job they paid him to do.
He's done it damn well. They might not like him, but they do.
Well, they endure him. They just say, who else could do this? Yeah, we don't know. So why change? Why change anything if you're them?
Imagine if we had to endure you for $60 million
a year. You wouldn't.
Remember, every single guest that joins us on the Bud Light guest line. Bud Light, easy to drink, easy to enjoy. We are also brought to you by CalHope.org. We'll be back with Final Jeopardy in just a moment.
Maybe you like cooking. Maybe you don't. Either way, the new Blue Apron is for you. Because along with our classic meal kits, we're offering new pre-made and one-pan meals to help you get dinner on the table fast. And now there's no subscription needed, so you can just order and enjoy. Do delicious food your way. Shop 100-plus meals at BlueApron.com. Get 50% off your first two orders with code APRON50. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
Holiday PSA from DSW. This is your reminder that shoes are a gift, literally. So unwrap something good, like boots that inspire your next big adventure, or cozy slippers that give you an excuse to stay in, or sneakers that feel like pure joy. Because shoes aren't just shoes, they're exactly what you wanted. Let us surprise you, so you can surprise them. Find shoes that get you and everyone on your list at prices that get your budget at DSW stores or DSW.com.
Freeman and Ratto on 95.7 The Game.
Our NBA trade deadline coverage is brought to you by Boxer and Gerson, Northern California's premier workers' compensation law firm, helping injured workers get their lives back for over 40 years. The NBA trade deadline is tomorrow at noon our time, and we will have you covered with the very latest getting into it, starting with the morning show, which is going to have Tim Kawakami in from 8 to 9 a.m. tomorrow, going over any of the morning's news. Probably not going to find any news tomorrow morning bigger than the Shams bomb just dropped on us. The Lakers, Jazz, and Timberwolves finalizing a trade to send D'Angelo Russell, Malik Beasley, and Jared Vanderbilt to the Lakers. Russell Westbrook and a first-round pick go to Utah. Mike Conley Jr. and a second-round pick in compensation go to Minnesota. The reports are that Russ will be bought out by Utah, and Chris Haynes is the first to step up to the plate and say that if indeed Russ is bought out by Utah, one of the first teams that will be interested in Russell Westbrook would be the Clippers. So, you know, if you love watching him in Los Angeles, maybe your future will still hold that for you.
Yeah, that one staggers me because the Clippers have been playing better of late. I mean, they're now like fourth in the conference. And I don't know what Russell Westbrook necessarily gives you that he doesn't take away with the other hand.
I was about to say that. A headache? He definitely gives you one of those.
Yeah, no, it would make sense if he was coming from another city and maybe you could make the argument, well, being closer to home will reinvigorate him. Well, he's already at home. So that you can't even make that argument. So, yeah, I don't know. Clippers being Clippers, I guess.
So stick around because much more coming up tomorrow. It is the NBA trade deadline, and we'll see if the Warriors actually do anything. They have very limited resources in terms in which to conduct a trade that would really make a difference. So we'll see whether or not they actually do it. You want to help yourself out, Golden State Warriors? Again, don't worry about the trade deadline. Worry about the Portland Trailblazers and go beat them tonight at the Rose Garden.
It's not the Rose Garden.
It's always going to be the Rose Garden.
Oh, okay.
Just the same way that they could have changed it. They changed Candlestick's name to two stupid different things. It was Candlestick.
All right. Well, I mean, it has been the Rose Garden for a number of years now. I don't even think people in Portland call it the Rose Garden anymore.
Oh, they
I have people who live in Portland.
You
Nobody
have people.
Refers to it as the Rose Garden.
No, they no. love saying Moda Center.
Or they'll just say the center.
The center? That's what the cool kids call it these days?
Yeah, they don't call it the Rose Garden.
Rose Garden's
it's been
than
too
all
many
that.
Years.
It's better than all that. Rose Garden.
Oh, I like it better than both of those, but time marches on.
It's like when they built the field house that the Colts now play in. Whatever that thing is named. I don't even know the name of it. They tore the RCA Dome down, built the new
Lucas Oil?
Lucas Oil Field. Thank you very much. They call Lucas Oil Field the RCA Dome still in Indianapolis. They're like, you going to the RCA Dome? Even though it's a building ago.
Yeah. Does RCA even exist anymore?
I don't think so. I don't think so.
Yeah, see, roses do exist, but Portland's moved on.
I was going to try to go into Roses by Outkast, but there's no way I can do it without swearing. So I'm going to move on.
Hey, if LeBron can do it, why not you?
Ray, I'd like to introduce you to maybe the most impressive young woman in sports in America today. We were talking about things that we'll never see, probably records broken in our lifetime. And a young woman named Erin Mattson has maybe set the latest. Do you know anything about this or where I'm going with this?
Go with it.
Erin Mattson, well, before I tell you about her, I guess I need to tell you about the North Carolina Tar Heels women's field hockey team. I don't even think I need to see women's field hockey because there is no men's field hockey. So North Carolina Tar Heels field hockey team. They have three dominant teams on campus at the University of North Carolina: men's basketball, women's soccer, and field hockey. The field hockey team has won four of the last five NCAA championships, and Erin Mattson was a key contributor on many of those. She was so good. She was so respected that 3 months after her winning her last title in North Carolina, she was named head coach. She's 22 years old. She takes off her jersey from the last game she plays. She graduates and 75 days later is named head coach of the team. Now, Pat Forty, writing for Sports Illustrated, wanted to just point this out. Because, you know, all the field hockey jokes that you might have that you think lend themselves to them making a reach higher like this. Says just straight up, this doesn't happen in modern college athletics. The path from player to coach might start immediately after a competitive career ends for some, but the path to player to head coach, like, always winds through a few stops and several years, sometimes several decades. Not only is North Carolina radically accelerating that timetable, this isn't some fixer-upper job that nobody wanted. Mattson was chosen from a field of A-list candidates to lead a 10-time national champion juggernaut. Now, obviously, it's a much different scale than Alabama football, but this would be equivalent to Nick Saban retiring and then some player who just graduated being named head coach. It's really an unprecedented thing in the history of hiring.
Oh, it's extraordinary. I mean, it's hard to get your head around, even if you've like read some of the stories about it, which I did, and I just still, how? I mean, unless there's some sort of NIL link that we don't know about, I don't understand it, but she must be that extraordinary.
She must be that extraordinary. A 22-year-old getting a major job at a major level of the sport she's a part of. That's something else.
Yeah.
We'll never see a 21-year-old. How about that? Get the job.
Well, you know, here's your diploma. Oh, by the way, here's your new job.
Right. Chalk Talk starts at 6.
Yeah. You know, you can move out of your dorm now. We have an office for you.
Unbelievable. So good luck to her and North Carolina.
She'll be fine.
Field hockey.
Even if she doesn't keep the job for 50 years, she'll be fine.
She'll be okay. I mean, once you start making that field hockey money, Ray, it's all gravy from there.
It's not the field hockey money. It's she will get to know people who know people. It's why a lot of athletes who have other options go to Stanford, because you get to know people who know people.
Well, it's the old saying, if you're smart enough to get a scholarship offer at Stanford, there's no way you're dumb enough to turn it down.
Exactly.
Stick around. There's no way to turn down John Dickinson when he's around the corner with Warriors Live. We got Warriors and Blazers coming up from Portland. Warriors Live for the next half hour. Then we got Tim Roy. Then we got tip-off on Klay's 33rd birthday. Who's your favorite Klay Thompson? China Klay? Scaffolding Klay? Or hitting 12 three-pointers Klay? Hopefully that's the one that shows up in Portland tonight at the Rose Garden.
Yeah, because he hits 12 in a row. In multiple games a lot.
It all the time. Let's see it happen again tonight. Go ahead and beat the Portland Trailblazers. We'll be talking about that hopefully tomorrow. And in the meantime, thank you very much to Peter King for joining us. For Lucas, Grandy, and Ray, I'm Damon. Sports don't build character. They reveal it.
And like that, he's gone.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Looking for a new way to grow your business? With TikTok for Business, anything is possible. If you've ever thought about advertising on TikTok, now's the time to do it. You can drive more customers to your website, sell products right in the app, and you can even use TikTok's creative tools to easily make content and find creators to help sell your products for you. Find new customers today. Just open your browser, type in getstarted.tiktok.com/TikTok ads, and grow your business fast.
In a world of endless notifications, there could be an important one you're missing. Your kidneys may be signaling an SOS. With high blood pressure or type 2 diabetes, your kidneys could be warning you of early signs of damage, which may put you at higher risk for events like heart attack or stroke. But there's a simple test that can help spot a hidden signal. Ask your doctor about a urine test called UACR to help detect kidney disease and heart risk early. To learn more, visit detectthesos.com today.
There's nothing like gaining a fresh perspective from experts who've seen it all and have the wisdom to prove it. With Masterclass, you can learn from the best to become your best. With plans starting at $10 a month, billed annually, you get unlimited access to over 200 plus classes taught by the world's best business leaders, writers, chefs, and more. With Masterclass, you get thousands of bite-sized lessons across 13 categories that can fit into even the busiest of schedules. And the classes really make a difference. 3 in 4 surveyed members feel inspired every time they watch Masterclass. And 83% of surveyed members have applied something they've learned from Masterclass to their lives. Masterclass always has great offers during the holidays, sometimes up to as much as 50% off. Head over to masterclass.com/audio for the current offer. That's up to 50% off at masterclass.com/audio. Masterclass.com/audio.